Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1473, air date August 20th, 2024.
Suffering from erectile dysfunction, it seems, but the cure to that comes from Dr. Shiva, and he's our guest today for the next maybe up to an hour. ShivaForPresident.com is the website. That's the numeral for ShivaForPresident.com. Dr. Shiva is running as an independent, and he's got a lot to say about, well, the rigging of the process of elections in America. Welcome, Dr. Shiva. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Well, it's good to be on here, Mike, on your show. But Mike, what I wanted to jump in was right away share with people a couple of things I want to cover is what's going on with our run for president. It's really disrupting a lot of things on both the Trump campaign side as well as on Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris filed a lawsuit against us in New Jersey to try to get us off the ballot because she knows I'll take away a lot of votes. Trump did the same thing with one of his proxies of the Trump campaign in Wisconsin. So the thing I want to let everyone know is, but they're suing the wrong guy, because this is going to sound weird, but on November 5th, during a presidential election, I am not running for president. Neither is Kamala Harris, neither is Donald Trump. So what we need to do is we need to broadly educate people on who is running for president. It's really important for people to understand this. So if we step back, there's something called the Electoral College. There, we could have big disagreements on whether we like the Electoral College, whether we don't like it. But the reality is that the Electoral College exists, and you can't wish it away from just from wishful thinking. So what is the Electoral College? And if we go back to how the founders set up the government, the United States government was an organization that was built to bring together the 13 colonies. All of these 13 colonies had their own governance. They had their own governors. They had their own form of representative government at the state level. But when they were brought together, each of the colonies and the states today could send representatives to that United States government. So they could send House of Representatives to one part of the Congress, the lower house of Congress, U.S. House of Representatives. The number of representatives every state got was roughly based on the population. Today, it's about, if you take the population of a state and you divide it by 700,000, that's how many representatives you get. Plus, they get two senators, all right? But they're sending representatives to the government. Now, here's the important thing. When it comes to the presidential election on November 5th, and I would say 99.99% of the people don't know this, including lawyers and judges, and I'll get to that because of the fact that New Jersey Board of Elections, as well as the Wisconsin Board of Elections, is coming after the wrong guy, questioning my qualifications or putting the cart before the horse. But I'll get to that. But what everyone needs to understand is on November 5th, when you go to the ballot and you see the name Trump or Kamala Harris or Dr. Shiva, you're not voting for me. Very important to understand those names, like Mike in software programming, it's a variable that represents underneath it a set of electors. They call it a slogan in some states. So what the founders did was a big disagreement or big debate between Madison and Hamilton. And the compromise was that in every state, they would have slates of electors run, each slate of electors pledged to a particular presidential candidate. The president is the ultimate representative of all the people in the United States government. So, for example, in the state of New Jersey, the Democrats selected through their, I know you want to talk about this, Mike, through the delegate and through their convention process or through their delegate process, a slate of electors assigned to a brand, a variable, a name called Joe Biden. The Republicans did that, a state of 14 electors assigned to a double quote guy called Trump. And in New Jersey, 14 electors are running to support me. So on November 5th, everyone needs to understand you have a slate of presidential elector candidates. So there could be three slates.
Now, and let me just jump in here because what you're saying makes perfect sense, but it's not until January that then these electors sort of submit their results and point to the president, then the winner of the election, is that correct?
Actually, there's one step before that. So on November 5th, all over the country, people are going to each state and they're voting. When they choose these names, they're actually voting for slates of electors. So let's say in the state of New Jersey, the slate of electors for Dr. Shiva is selected. That means those 14 electors will be assigned, the 14 electors will be assigned to Dr. Shiva on December 17th, which is typically the second Wednesday after the first Monday, okay? Which is December 17th. So on December 7th, the state legislatures, Mike, they have something called the appointment clause in the Constitution, okay? Now, every state can decide how it wants to appoint those electors. Typically, it's done by popular vote. So if 50% of the, or 40% of the popular vote went to me, 30% to Trump, 30% to Kamala Harris, the state of New Jersey says all of those 14 electors or the slate of representing Dr. Shiva wins. Then to your point on January 6th is when Congress counts the votes. Okay, that's the 20th Amendment, okay? So when Congress is counting the votes, let's say one slate of electors, 14 electors say, oh, our candidate is Fidel Castro, which by the way, they can do, Mike, or Donald Trump, or Mickey Mouse. At that point, there will be a constitutional crisis, right? Then people in Congress say, whoa, 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 we can't vote. You can't pledge to this guy. Mickey Mouse ain't a candidate, right? Because it has to be a person. Oh, wait a minute. Fidel Castro is disqualified because he wants to overthrow the United States and he's dead and he's not a U.S. citizen, right?
They never stop Democrats.
Right. But this is why on March 4th, 2024, the Supreme Court came down on the Colorado Supreme Court because the Colorado Supreme Court had ruled that Trump was a insurrectionist. Therefore, he should not be on the ballot. 9-0, the Supreme Court said, you cannot do that. Only Congress can decide the qualifications of a president. So now let me take you to New Jersey, given that background. Again, to everyone listening, don't feel you're ignorant. 99% of lawyers and judges, I hate to say this, they're dumb about this. They think that that the person who's running is me or Trump or Kamala Harris. And let me give you the manifestation of this. So in New Jersey, we have about, 8,000, 10,000 volunteers and supporters. Among them, they got together and they selected their pool of 14 electors. And those pool of electors now, in order for them to get on the ballot, Mike, they have to go through a nomination process, which is they have to go collect signatures, Mike. They have to get about 2,000 signatures, okay? And that's what our volunteers did. They got 2,000 signatures for these 14 electors who are under the variable name called Dr. Shiva. Some of, the other set of electors are under Biden. This is why they could flip Biden to Harris so quickly, because all they're doing is they go to the electors and the electors say, oh, now we're going to vote for this person, you see? So in New Jersey, we get on the ballot, which means we, meaning those 14 electors who have pledged their vote to me, get on the ballot. They fill all the nomination papers. They have to be residents. They have to be citizens. There's certain requirements, 2 years residency. The state board of elections, everyone should also listen to this carefully. The states have very limited authority on the candidate, the pledged candidate. They can only adjudicate on those presidential electors, okay? Whether the signatures were correct, whether the people that signed, those 2,000 people were correct. In Massachusetts, we had to get 20,000 signatures, okay? In Colorado, 300,000 signatures. But the states can only adjudicate, are the electors proper? Because why? We're a representative democracy, we're a republic. You're not voting for me who's living in Massachusetts, you're voting for the office of electors, okay? So after we get on the ballot, Mike, Kamala Harris and the Democratic Party file a lawsuit against me. Now, given the background, to tell me that I'm not qualified because I'm not a quote unquote natural born citizen, Now think about this in two levels. A, these idiots do not understand the law. They come after me. I am not running for office. They should have sued the electors. You see what I'm saying? Furthermore, yes, the qualification of president, you're putting the cart before the horse. That is, the states have no right to that. That is done on December 17th or January 6th. Okay. More importantly, in the state of New Jersey, as in many other states, I could take you through 35 states just to make my point even more clearer. Since 1970, in the recent history, since 1972 to 2012, there were four candidates, Mike, who had electors who pledged their votes to these four candidates, none of whom were quote unquote qualified. Nowhere near. I mean, the natural born naturalized is not only up to dispute, but natural born equals naturalized pursuant to the 14th Amendment. One of these people is a woman called Linda Jenness in 1972. Guess how old she was? She was 31. Another guy, Roger Calero, in 2004 and 8, was a Nicaraguan citizen, not a naturalized citizen, not even natural born. Larry Holmes was 32.
And it's supposed to be 35 is supposed to be.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's like a one or a zero. Are you 35 or not? But all of these people were allowed to be, quote unquote, on the ballot, right? Because it's the electors. Because two reasons. A, they couldn't go after the elector because they'd filled out their papers correctly, just as my case. But more importantly, they knew the qualification. The qualification clause is not for the states. Why are they coming after me? Because they know I'll take a ton of votes, Mike, a shitload of votes away from Kamala Harris. That's why. Because, you know, New Jersey has a very large Indian community. By the way, this is where it gets even more not only ironic, but the level of disgusting racism by Kamala Harris and Democratic Party. The 14th Amendment, if you read it, it says a natural born citizen or a naturalized citizen is equal. Equal means equal, right, Mike? There's no like, if you're doing variable, if you're doing programming or anything in math, equal isn't equal equal? Is there sort of equal and sort of equal? No, it's equal. Equal is equal. So I'm equal. That's why the 14th Amendment allowed blacks to vote, people of color to vote, and Barack Obama to be president or Kamala Harris to be president. The 19th Amendment applied the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. That's why she can run. Isn't it freaking crazy that Kamala Harris, supposedly an Indian, whatever she is, right, is going after me, a naturalized, which means I've been eyes to be natural, okay? Which means I'm equal. And I can not only run for president, which is what the FEC rule as a naturalized citizen, but I can also be president. Now, people disagree with that. This is not the time. They have no right. So the Democratic Party got a local judge to accept that lawsuit, Mike, which is illegal. So I represented myself in court and I said, look, you're conflating running for president, being for president. This is not the time. Then this is what's called an administrative hearing. The judge is actually not a judge. He's actually a hearing officer. So he just rubber stamps the attorney who's representing the New Jersey Democratic Party, an Indian guy, a Brahmin Indian guy, Mike. So you have an Indian guy working for Kamala Harris in a lower court who just says, oh yeah, natural born guy can't be president. Well, you have no right to say that because you're suing the wrong guy. So anyway,
and especially, but the Democrats claim to be defending democracy against Trump.
Exactly.
And the way that they defend democracy is to disqualify everybody else except themselves.
That's right.
And then Kamala, she's the result of a coup against Joe Biden.
Exactly.
Joe Biden has been actually overthrown. We've had an insurrection inside the government already, inside the Democrat Party, an insurrection against Joe Biden, have we not?
We've had an insurrection against Joe Biden, but we've also, in New Jersey, they do not want a real Indian like me running. When I mean a real Indian, Mike, Kamala Harris has never gone through the immigrant journey. I have. She's never done anything. She's one of the dumbest people on the planet, okay? She is installed. She's a puppet. And the swarm, people go to shatterthesworm.com, you'll understand what the swarm is. They want dumb people in high places. They want Zionists. Kamala Harris is a Zionist. Trump is a Zionist. Trump openly said that we need to expand Israel, and basically he'll die for Israel before he'll do for America. Okay. So whether it's Kamala Harris or Trump or Booby effing Kennedy, these people are all Zionists. Now it gets even more interesting, right? Because these people in Congress right now, you have 99% of the people in Congress are natural born citizens, but they've all pledged loyalty to Israel. So when the founders created America, in my view, when I've studied this issue very carefully, they were looking for people to be loyal to the United States and the Constitution. So they thought people born of this soil would be loyal, quote unquote, natural born, which is never defined, by the way. But they also carved out tens of thousands of American naturalized citizens who could also be president at the time. That's why I read section Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5. It also says people were citizens at the time of the Constitution. Several years later, they made the Marquis de Lafayette, who was a French-born citizen. They made him, quote unquote, natural born, you say? But when you add it all up, you say, well, how could they do that? Well, they were looking for people loyal to the United States. When I took my oath of allegiance, Mike, and I had to hand in my Indian passport when I was 22 years old, right? I had to pledge loyalty to the United States, that I will fight for the United States, that I'll defend the United States. The natural born citizens don't need to do that, Mike. Quite interesting.
Yeah, good point. But so, let me add something else to this, though. Sorry to interrupt, but we also have now running the Biden administration, and many of these people would be in a Kamala administration or even a Trump administration, dual citizenship, where they have an Israeli passport. Anthony Blinken is one of these people. And when he visited Netanyahu to support Israel's ongoing war crimes, Blinken said, I come to you as a Jew, not as a state leader of the United States of America. And who was it? Brian Mass, I think, wore his Israeli IDF uniform, military uniform, into the United States, the Congress, into the House, showing that he is loyal to Israel. And many of these people are more loyal to Israel than they are the United States.
But well, so Shiva,
I think you're loyal to America first. Is that correct?
Yeah, Mike, I am, out of all these people, I'm loyal to America. And that loyalty is revealed in the fact that I have been absolutely anti-Zionist my entire life. Okay. None of these, all these guys are pro-Zionist. Trump just got given $100 million from Sheldon Adelson's wife. He wants to expand Israel. And you look at everyone that surrounds Trump. In fact, when Mark Levine introduced Trump at some event, he said, oh, we have the first Jewish president. Now, I haven't had a chance to check that out, but I don't want to conflate Judaism with Zionism. Okay. But the point is, all of these people serve Israel. So I am probably the most loyal among all of them, all of these guys. By the very fact, everyone can go look at my history. I've always fought since I came to this country for this country's values, consistently. And the question for everyone right now is, do they want someone who's actually loyal to the working people of this country, or do they want these scumbags from Trump to Kamala to Booby effing Kennedy, all these people who have already sold this country out? They were absolutely, and let's just walk through that. Economic policy and foreign policy are glued at the hip. So the existence of Israel, which is basically an aircraft carrier in the Middle East, demands war, okay? The existence of Zionism demands war, because without war, Zionism and Israel cannot thrive, because the elites need war. And Israel, this big aircraft carrier in the Middle East, serves the interests of war. So,
And let me add, this is why Netanyahu keeps adding these impossible requirements to any kind of a peace agreement. He will not tolerate peace. He doesn't want peace. And all the negotiations by Blinken are just theater.
They're all theater. Just theater. You nailed it, Mike. So if you look at this entire thing, the work of James Borfman shows that Trump was put into power by Netanyahu. It came out in the FOIA that he did. When Roger Stone, you know, the warrant that came out for Roger Stone, everyone should go read Borfman's work. It's spectacular. It shows very clearly that Trump was put in by Mossad, and the Russia hoax was a hoax within a hoax. The Russia hoax was a diversion to talk about the reality that it was Mossad and Netanyahu that put Trump into power. And they and the negotiation through Roger Stone was that Trump would make sure the embassy was moved to Jerusalem, and two,
which
he'd screw up the Iran deal, okay? And both of them is what Trump delivered. That's why he's president. There are some people who argue that actually Hillary won in 2016, and she decided not to challenge it. We have to all recognize, and I've gone through enormous amounts of data. I know this election process how they manipulate votes, how they manipulate signature verification. Trump too was selected. All elections are selections.
What do you suppose if Trump just received another $100 million? And I will confirm he did just give a speech with American flags and Israeli flags behind him.
Yeah.
And he said he supports greater Israel. And, you know, just technically speaking, for the record, for greater Israel to become a reality, Israel would have to murder and slaughter hundreds of millions of additional people beyond Gaza. I mean, we're talking about all the way to Iraq, by the way, and Syria and Afghanistan, and who knows about Jordan and Egypt and so on. But in order, my question to you, sir, is what do you think Trump has promised to do in exchange for this new $100 million?
Well, if you look at Trump's entire history, Mike, right? From the time last time he went bankrupt with Atlantic City, the guy that bailed him out, I know you may know this, is Wilbur Ross. Wilbur Ross was the head of debt equity financing for the Rothschilds. And anyone can look this up. And Trump here was taking 14-15% loans. Okay. One of the dumbest people I know. He's not a businessman. Trump's a fake businessman. Okay. The wealth that he had in real estate should have been much higher. Okay. But the guy dwindled it away because he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Wilbur Ross came to him and they cut a deal where he still got to own a substantial amount of his holdings, which is unbelievable. And he was put on a trajectory to become president. He connected with Ari Emanuel. He got book deals. You just have to traverse this entire guy's history. It was decided that he would become president. Elections are selections. Obama was a selection. They needed a white guy to manipulate the American working class after Obama. Obama did everything the bankers wanted, talked a big game. He was against the banks. Trump did everything Big Pharma wanted. He did everything that the elites wanted. He did everything that the Zionists wanted. That was his job, and he got paid handsomely for that. And also, not only did he, but so did Jared Kushner, Ivanka Trump, the whole family did quite well.
Well, let me interject this, yeah. Dr. Shiva. Many of us, like myself, you know, obviously we are very concerned about the open border situation. We're very concerned about the criminal cabal in Washington, D.C. We know that if communist Kamala becomes president, she's going to have price controls on food, wage controls by government. She's going to confiscate patents from corporations and people, and who knows what, probably just arrest and incarcerate all of her political opponents or dissidents, you know, anybody who speaks out like you and I. We must defeat communist Kamala. And how do you answer people who say, well, you know, voting for Trump is the only practical way to do that? What would you say to that? Because I mean,
so Mike, let's talk through,
the system is rigged for a two-party system. Right?
Mike, let's talk through that, because I know you've sort of, you know, you, first of all, I want to appreciate you for, you know, having this conversation. Most of the people out there who talk a game, right? And we know who they are, from Rogan to all these guys, are afraid to put me on. But
of course, they
no,
are.
Seriously, because but I yeah. I think we need to recognize the people who follow MAGA and Trump, right? And some of us were there, are being used and exploited. The people who believe that they're for the working class, right? Who want a better day for the American workers are also exploited by the Democrats. Both wings of the working, both elements, the working people in this country are being manipulated both ways. Let me explain that. And in order to explain that, Mike, to answer your question, we have to understand history, okay? In the late 1800s, there was a massive movement of the American working class. Bottoms up, Mike. It wasn't controlled by Russia. It wasn't controlled by Nazi Germany. It was an indigenous movement of the American working people as we were transitioning from the agrarian, you know, to the industrial age, that how much they were exploited. Okay, 1886, by way of example, was when four American workers were shot, Mike, in Haymarket Square, Chicago. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, and seven American workers were shot in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, by the National Guard. Why? They wanted the eight-hour workday, Mike, basic rights. And those movements grew, led by women in Lowell, Massachusetts here. This was the American working class flexing its muscles and demanding basic decency, infrastructure, right? roads, clean water, elimination of child labor. Children used to work 20 hours a day. And those movements, as they grew, Mike, they scared the shit out of the elites, Democrats and Republicans. Well, in the 1930s, they had a guy called Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was an elitist scumbag. He was a racist. He was one of the as elite as you can get. He wanted to crush these movements. But as these movements grew, the working people of this country basically put a gun to, not an actual gun, to the elites at the time. And what they did was they gave them lots of reforms. This is why, if we have basic rights for working people, that came from that moment. 20 years later, Mike, in the 1950s, the left wing and the right wing got together. And this is where it's very important to understand this phenomenon. And that was the McCarthy era. You remember that? They branded all of these movements as communists.
Right.
Capital C communists being driven from Russia. And then all of these bottoms up trade union movements, by the way, which were inspirational for working people throughout the world. So inspirational that May Day, which is International Workers' Day, was not in commemoration of Stalin or Russia or Chinese communism. They actually were commemorating those four American workers who were hanged in Haymarket Square. And everyone's forgotten. This has been absolutely just whited out from American history. So 1950, the McCarthy era, was about crushing all of this out of the history books. So by 1950 to 1970, the left wing took over these bottoms up organic movements called, and they became the big union bosses, mafia. And the right wing kept hitting this anti quote unquote communist rhetoric. And that's what we have. All of this was designed, Mike, so the working people of this country wouldn't unite. So between 1900 to 1970, just by way of example, do you know there were 11,000 bottoms up strikes in the United States? Bottoms up. And close to 250 million people, which means we had a vibrant American working class. And during that period, to make it economically understandable, between 1900 to 1950 to 60 to 70, as the American GDP grew, every income quartile's salaries grew. That means whether you were a 100 millionaire, whether you were at the 20, 30,000 a worker, because the American working class fought for its rights. They kept the elites in check. After 1970, by the way, 1970, Mike, is when everything happened. Centralization occurred at every level in science and technology. In 1970, that's when the unions were taken over by the quote unquote Democrats. And then you had this rhetoric, this right wing rhetoric, capital C communist rhetoric, not really talking about working people, but Russia, China, et cetera. And all of this was intended not really against communism, but really to make sure working people never rose. So between 1970 till today, I'll give you the economics. We've only had 2 million people strike in about 900 strikes. That means the entire working class movement has been completely choked and suffocated. There's no bottoms up movements, Mike. And between 1970 to today, $47 trillion in income. And this came out in a RAND report of the first and second income quartiles. I'm not talking about people who are not working. These are hardworking Americans. Their wages have gone down. And if you do the calculus on that, literally you take the area under the curve, that's close to $47 trillion was transferred upward. And the pinnacle of that was a pandemic. 600 billionaires, while everyday working people and entrepreneurs were struggling, their wealth increased by $2.3 Mike. So this is the big elephant in the room. This is not about communism. It's all bullshit. This is about the fact they do not want bottoms-up movements. They don't want guys like me or you, Mike, everyday people come from the trenches.
Well, that's for sure.
That's what this is about. This is why Kamala is filing a lawsuit against me, because I'm going to take away votes from her. And this is why a Trump guy is filing a lawsuit against me in Wisconsin to get me off the ballot, in violating the 14th Amendment. You say?
But so sure you understand the bind that the American voter is in. And let me explain it this way, because you, Dr. Shiva, you are the most articulate. You are the most red-pilled of all the candidates. You are the most knowledgeable of science and medicine and the scams of the FDA, the scams of big pharma, the scams against the working class, the scams of taxation and so on. And you're not compromised by overseas influences either. In an instant runoff election, Dr. Shiva, I vote for you, number one, and then Trump second in an instant runoff election. Because then if you don't get enough votes to win, then my vote goes to Trump. But we don't have that kind of system. We have a rigged system, a winner-takes-all system, and people like me who are forced to choose like which candidate that has a viable pathway to 270 electoral votes, which candidate do we need to get behind? For guys like me, that's Trump. I mean, what other pathway do we have in terms of voting to stop America from being totally destroyed by the left?
So, Mike, so let's talk through this, okay? So if we look at the data, okay, let's just go to the data. So the presumption that you're making is that things will be a little bit better, right? Let's just logically talk through this, okay? That's a presumption, right? That Trump will be better than Kamala Harris. Isn't that what we're saying?
Well, actually, let me correct that.
Yeah.
I think America is headed for economic debt collapse and cultural collapse. I don't want the Kamala communists in charge as that collapse happens. I think Trump and his people will do a better job overseeing the collapse that's coming. That's my honest opinion.
Let's talk through that, okay? Throughout, you know, since I started looking at electoral politics since 1984, Mike, there's always the elites are very good at separating the American working class. Notice how close these elections are, 49% to 46. Yes. Okay. So you're a smart guy. I really need you to get this, Mike, because you can have major influence on this. Okay. Remember Reagan versus Mondale. Oh my God, this is going to be the end. Okay. Every election is always something disastrous is going to happen if you don't vote for this guy, right? The Democrats, oh my God, if you don't vote for Kamala, you know, we're going to have da, 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 fill in the blank. If you don't vote for Trump, da, 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 right? Each side, they've done this. So let's actually, so you agree with that? Each side, one set of the working class is manipulated to think disaster is going to come if Trump gets elected.
But I can make the argument, Dr. Shiva, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
This is a great discussion and thank you for having the patience to do this. But if the Democrats win, they want to make structural changes, for example, to the Supreme Court, stack the Supreme Court in a way that would devastate our Bill of Rights. For example, Second Amendment. Second Amendment rights would be gone. Gun confiscation would become the law of the land if they stack the Supreme Court. And the First Amendment, not just the right of freedom of speech, which is under attack. And yes, I'm very concerned what Trump will do to appease Israel to ban speech that is critical of Israel's actions, by the way, yes, but also freedom of the church and freedom of the press. So what I'm saying, Dr. Shiva, is I believe that this election does matter than other elections because there will be consequential structural changes by the left that will destroy the balance of power that we've had up to now. That's my argument.
Right, so let's follow through that, Mike. So every election, and we can do a long, there's always some disaster. And if we don't do this, but do you understand? And again, don't take this because, you know, we've known each other. Don't take this personally. This is a beggar's approach. We're fighting for crumbs. Okay. Let me tell you why. Trump, we can say Kamala Harris is going to be a communist. Trump is going to be a bloody Zionist, Brahminist Nazi. He's going to throw people in jail, deport them if they're against Israel. He said that, Mike, blatantly.
He has said that,
right?
Correct.
What the fuck is he talking about? Excuse my language.
I don't know.
Trump is a fool. I've met with him. He's an actor. He's a second-rate actor who's a WWE guy. That's who he is. Okay. And Kamala Harris is just dumb. She's one of the dumbest people we know. The elites are basically doing this. Which actor can they use to manipulate the American people better? That's all. Who will basically suck off Israel the best, right? But more importantly, who will manipulate the working class better? Now, if you look at the reality, you know, if you go to shivaforpresident.com, we have this graph on one of the cards. That's how I launched my campaign. Mike, let's just look at the data as engineers, as scientists, as practical common people, okay? If you go from 1970 till today, life expectancy is going like this, Mike. All right?
Yes.
Fact. Cost of living is going like that.
Oh, yeah.
All right? Now, go from 1970 to today. You see the story. Oh, my God, if you don't vote for the Republicans, it's going to happen. Oh, my God, if you don't vote for the Democrats, it's going to happen. It's all fucking theater, man. It's bullshit. The reality is cost of living is going like this and life expectancy is going like that. None of these people matter. We need a systems overhaul. And that systems overhaul comes by guys like you and broad mass of American people saying, fuck off. I'm going to vote for Dr. Shiva for president because it doesn't actually matter. What matters is awakening consciousness.
Well, I agree we need a systems overhaul. You're exactly right about that. This current
But I'm saying we got to get away from this thing, Mike, where because this is what's been the recurrent process. The recurrent process is very intelligent people like you say, drawing this fine line between Trump and Kamala Harris. There is no difference. Do you understand that? Just look at the data. You know, who 1970s, right? It was Carter's, then Reagan, then the Bushes, then the Clintons, then the Bushes, then Obama's. The curve is going like this. Life expectancy is going down. Cost of living is going up. So,
Dr. Shiva, I mean, you're correct in a general sense, but there are stark policy differences between
let's go through them.
Absolutely. For example, Trump being pro-energy, pro-domestic energy production. And of course, I live in Texas, and this state is rich in natural energy. Why shouldn't we tap into the natural gas and the oil that we have here to power our economy, to bring down food prices, to make farming more affordable, and transportation? Where the Kamala communists, they want to ban combustion engines, Dr. Shiva. Trump would not ban combustion engines. And I understand what you're saying. At the highest levels, they're all going to print money until this whole circus ends. They're all going to wage war. They're all going to appease the military-industrial complex. You're right about that. But before this whole system collapses and goes to shit, there are policy differences. And I don't want a hamburger to cost $100. You know, I mean,
well, Mike,
these differences matter.
Let's talk through that, right? But if you look at the cost of living from 19, so let's just take what you just said, okay? If you take couple of key performance indicators, cost of living, which I think is a big one, right? Affects everyone, and life expectancy. Ultimately, you can start coming up, you know, you're flying an airplane, you have a gauge. And when you look at the US society, we have gauges, right? I can give you a couple, maybe we should add it. Let's just look at objective gauges, freedom of speech, okay? It is Trump who signed the 2018 CISA Act. And Elon Musk is for free speech. He just threw a guy off, a comedian, off Twitter because he's pro-Palestinian.
Youssef, but I don't know that he was banned by X. Well, I just saw that his account disappeared.
Was suspended. And if you look, I have a major lawsuit, which at the appeals court right now, that it is Elon Musk is one of the defendants with Mark Zuckerberg. If you look at my followers, I mean, I have 366.
Well, I've sued Twitter too, Dr. Shiva.
But nothing has changed
against Twitter.
But Mike, nothing. So also, we should probably. But I'm saying, Elon Musk, where Elon Musk begins and government ends, nobody knows. He's a complete government lackey. He's a lackey to Zionism. We have to understand fundamentally. What are the key performance indicators we look at? You're saying there's policy issues, but let's look at the end result for the average American. Cost of living, it's gone up, regardless of Democrat or Republicans. You look at life expectancy, it's gone down. Let's look at actually freedom of speech. Every step of the way, whether it's been Bush or whether it's been Trump, or the constraints on speech, the fact that the government has a backdoor portal to every social media companies, we have massive consolidation of speech. We need a systems overhaul. So if you go look at the policy issues that you're saying, when I look at these key performance indicators, the freaking plane is crashing. So
it is. And I've been very critical of Trump and Operation Warp Speed. And he pushed Pfizer. He pushed the vaccine.
But I don't think you should endure. What I would respectfully say is you should say we need to build a bottoms-up movement. Fuck Trump. Fuck Kamala Harris. That's what needs to come out of very intelligent people like you, because we need a movement. So if you look at what has actually changed society, every point in human history, it's been bottoms-up movements. The founders called these non-justiciable events. They called it the political process. The reason I decided to run, Mike, is because the non-justiciable nature. The founders didn't want bloody revolutions. They didn't. They knew that you had to keep open the concept of new things coming from below. They were somewhat explicit about this, but many people, it was implied throughout the Constitution. I mean, look at these fucking guys. What is Trump? I mean, come on. The guy, from my view, staged this thing with his ear. He's saying, wait, wait. And he puts his hand up. Beautiful picture shot. Come on. And Kamala Harris, all this is staged, Mike. It's all theater. WWE. It's fucking WWE. Okay. We should not participate in it at all.
This is an awesome conversation. We should do this more. I think the audience really appreciates what you and I are doing here because it's honest. It's honest, right? Whether they agree or disagree with our points, this is an honest conversation. I do not think that the shooting of Trump was fake. Like, I don't think his ear getting shot was faked. I don't buy that. I think they tried to kill him and they missed.
Well, we could have a whole conversation on that.
Absolutely. I'm happy to have that conversation.
Yeah, I think we should.
But a bottoms up, a grassroots movement for the people, not for the military industrial complex, not just to push Israel's agenda in the Middle East, not just to print more money and make the bankers rich. That kind of movement, you know what it would be called under a Kamala administration? Another insurrection. They would jail those people.
And Trump would call that this is against Israel, and he'd also jail people, Mike. Both of them would. We have to understand they're both two sides of the same coin when it comes to this fundamental issue. The fundamental issue is the United States at a fundamental, not the people of the United States, but the elites, the Zionists who run the United States must print money. It is called modern monetary theory, MMT.
Right.
So they have to print money, okay, in order to keep this whole racket going. Well, how do they print money? They need to have war because the United States cannot be a reserve currency. Without the only reason it can print money is because it's a reserve currency. Well, how do you maintain reserve currency status? By not gold, not petroleum, but by the might of F-16s and aircraft carriers, one of them being Israel. So this entire economic policy, which is the cost of living going up, which will keep going up, it's based on printing money. Well, why is the United States able to print money? The United States is able to print money for one singular reason, freaking aircraft carriers and Israel. So economic policy, which is the devastation of the American working class and cost of living going up, you know, lifespan going down, is directly tied to the policy with Israel, period. So anyone who supports.
You are correct.
So what I'm saying is, be it Kamala or Trump, you know, whoever they are, one's an idiot. One's, you know, a fake act, whatever you want to say. They're theater, but they're just puppets. They're all puppets figuring out which show moves the people. Okay. And that's what we got to, this is what we got to go to heart at. Yeah.
I've said multiple times, we are all living in a giant Truman show. And so I agree with the fundamental premise of a lot of what you are saying. And I just want to point out here that the dollar world reserve currency status is collapsing. 156 nations want to join BRICS. BRICS will have the unit backed by 40% gold as an international settlement currency. The days of the dollar being able to be endlessly weaponized, and even the days of US aircraft carriers being the dominant force in the region, those days are fast coming to an end. I mean, Yemen has carried out a naval blockade and they don't even have a navy. They have shut down the ports of Israel. They have shuttered the industry, the investments, the Intel microchip factories in Israel have been canceled because they can't even bring in the materials using the ports. You know, Iran has advanced ballistic missile technology that can pierce the Iron Dome. Russia, its economy is thriving even after the weaponized sanctions and so on. The days of this whole 40, 50, 60 year reign of terror by the West and its money system, it's coming to an end.
But Mike, this
don't
is
you think?
So I've thought about this carefully, okay? And this is my view on this, okay? Where does I don't know if you know this, but I've talked to I was at this conference about a year ago. Where does the Chinese premier have his money? Where does he keep his money in? Do you know he owns US Treasuries?
Well, but the fewer and fewer U.S. treasuries.
Well, my point is, if you go to India, the elites of India who run many, you know, this crazy stock market in India, okay, that many of them do stock buybacks, but they buy U.S. treasuries. I want you to consider this. The global elites are a swarm, whoever they are, whatever they wear, whatever name, whatever state they're in. They are unified. They may have their minor differences. By the way, BRICS was started by JP Morgan. There was the original white paper came out of JP Morgan. I'm saying the elites over here have an understanding. And they have an understanding to be very, very, you know, cautious about the US dollar, because so much of their wealth is still in the US dollar. And so we have to be careful to think doomsday's coming tomorrow. This is what I'm saying. The elites are always very clever. I've been around these guys, Mike. Okay. I know these guys. I used to teach them at MIT. Quantitative easing. Who would have ever thought about that in 2008? They made it up. Poof. Okay. They made it up one day. So the elites are very clever because they control the entire chess game. They control all of it to make up shit as they need. So let's not underestimate them. We should not think Iran or Russia is going to defeat one wing of the swarm is going to defeat the other wing. There's only one way to defeat this, and it is to end the occupation of America. See, people are thinking, like I'll see on Twitter, oh my God, I support Iran. What are you talking about? All over the Middle East, there have been massive anti-Zionist protests. All these Arab and Persian leaders, they're so afraid of these anti-Zionist protests actually coming on them. They are in face value saying, oh yeah, we too are against Zionism. But they oppress their own people, Mike. We have to get away from this nation state model to recognize it's the people versus the swarm. So it
well,
is-
I agree. We have to get away from the-
But I'm saying, when are we going to start? When are guys like you, who are very smart guys, going to say, fuck it. Fuck this lesser of evils. Let's build this bottoms up movement. You see,
one of the ways that we do that is with decentralized power. For example, you know, crypto. Crypto is decentralized money that cannot be counterfeited by any nation. And that's why the nations of the world are attacking Bitcoin and other crypto. And I'm not a Bitcoin fiery-eyed, you know, absolutist any means. But I'm saying that we can take our power back through decentralized systems, decentralized medicine,
yes, but
decentralized
ultimately, Mike, I think the people. So if you look at it, we don't need everyone. Enough people to raise their consciousness to recognize we have to shatter the swarm. And we have to start participating and calling out their process. When a guy like me comes out from below, everyone should be writing me in the states that we're not getting on the ballot. And it's a show of defiance. That's what this campaign is about. But if you look at crypto, even you and I know throughout the history of technology, whenever technology came, you can go back to the Gutenberg printing press, which was actually done by the Chinese, by the way. But whenever new technologies came, we said, oh my God, it's going to liberate humanity. It is not technology that has ever liberated humanity. It is people's movements. Because whenever technology came, for a period of time, it seemed like it was going to help us. And then the elites consolidated. This happened with the printing press, four major publishing companies. You and I know in 1993, when the internet came, I wrote a book I don't have here called The Arts and the Internet, the beginning of the revolution. But what ended up happening? Four major companies essentially started supporting homesteading on the internet, right? Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, et cetera. So people did not build their own independent websites with their own local internet service providers. All of it now is consolidated with four major telco providers and four major, really, social media companies.
Yeah, but Dr. Shiva, but it's guys like me who I've built platforms. I built Brighteon to be decentralized.
Right.
I built Brighteon.io. You know, we built Brighteon.social. I'm trying, man.
I know you are, but now think about what would happen, Mike, if those of us who get it. Imagine the Verizon workers who work at Verizon, okay? And this may sound really radical and revolutionary, but here's the bottom line. Bitcoin, yeah, you have your wallet, but you need the infrastructure to transact it, right?
True.
Most, right? Okay. Who's the one who maintains this infrastructure? There's four major.
Now, it's globalist compliant.
Exactly.
Exchanges.
Exactly. Like, so ultimately, you could have all your Bitcoin, but no one can transact because they're going to shut you down. Okay. The only way out of this is going back to the history of the United States when the working people of this country flex their muscles. And it wasn't quote unquote communist. You see, the anti-communist rhetoric, Mike, is designed by the right and the left. And the left to make sure we don't build these bottoms up workers' movements. When I'm talking about workers' movements, true people's movements, bottoms up. Because what would happen if tomorrow, Mike, supposedly, and hypothetically, the the workers at Verizon and Vodafone and AT&T said, fuck it. Okay. I don't support GMOs. I don't support the pandemic. We run the routers. We're not going to run them for you anymore. You see what I'm saying? What happens then? That is a movement. When the working people of this country say, these things that we have created, we want to use for the mass of humanity, not for a set of people, not for Zionist scumbags to control. That's political power. And that's what needs to happen. And that's why they crushed these bottoms up trade unions that came up in the 1800s and branded them uppercase communists. You see, this is what actually happened, Mike. So yeah, Bitcoin, you know, yes, blockchain is great, but you can't execute blockchain if we, the people, don't own this infrastructure.
You're exactly right. And this is one of the reasons we're suing Twitter, is because they still ban links to Brighteon.com. Elon Musk says, oh, we're all about free speech. We sent letters to his legal team for 6 months. They refused to do a damn thing about it. So we sued him in federal court. We filed that suit on Memorial Day.
Now, Mike, what about if all the workers at Twitter who are listening, you know, who are not 200 billionaires, they say, you know what Mike Adams and Dr. Shiva is saying, right, we're going to strike tomorrow. Fuck it.
Right.
What happens? That's a people's movement. They don't want people moving there. But instead, what they've done is, if you notice, all the major tech companies are run by brown-skinned Brahmins, okay? Indians, who were always compliant with imperialism. If you go back to the history of Indian or colonialism, when the Indian people were rising up for a good revolution in India, they brought in a brown guy, Gandhi, who was serving British imperialism. And then they created an entire Indian infrastructure where brown people oppress brown people. It's a neo-colonialist attitude. I would like to posit to you, look at all the tech companies. They're all run by the same Indian neo-colonialist mentality, people who are compliant. We need to build a bottoms-up movement. The working people of the world are the people who run the actual, who actually do work. We should own common infrastructure, right? So the United States Postal Service, by way of example, the founders, when they created, these guys were very freaking bright. They knew that you cannot have free speech. Free speech must equal free reach. So they created an institution called the Postal Service, where every American citizen could transact a piece of mail, which was communication at the time, before the internet, for pennies. They wanted free speech to equal free reach. Up until 1970, nearly 70% of the mail was political mail. Right wing, left wing, Green Party, communists, Nazis, everyone.
Yeah, now, the Postal Service didn't open the letters and read the mail and ban.
Exactly. It was 20-year sentence in prison. When we moved to electronic medium, we lost all of that, Mike. And I remember meeting with the Postal Service. I said, you guys need to offer the American people something in the electronic version. They thought it was idiotic. Now who controls it? Elon Musk? Come on. Elon Musk has never invented anything. The guys.
It shouldn't be under the control of any one person. And by the way, Susan Wojcicki is not a brown person. But then again,
I know,
she's dead.
Right. But what I'm saying is
she's already dead, man.
Right.
She was one of the worst censors of YouTube.
Right.
And she censored me and many other people and then claimed to be protecting the population from vaccine misinformation. Well, she took a bunch of jabs. She died from cancer.
Yep, exactly. And when I meant brown people, I'm saying I find it quite interesting, right? Many of the tech companies are headed by these Indian neo-colonials, who are Brahmins, okay? Kamala Harris, by the way, to people listening, India has a caste system. That's why my parents left India. Kamala Harris is a Brahmin of Brahmin of Brahmins, okay? A Tamil Brahmin, like Vivek the Snake Ramaswamy. And to me, it's fascinating, Mike, as someone who came bottoms up, I actually represent the real Indians among the 1.8 billion people. Most of them are non-Brahmins, Mike. And Brahmanism is equal to Zionism, is equal to Nazism. It is a theory that a few chosen people should run the world, Mike. And that is
Dr. Shiva dropping major bombs right at the end of this interview. Like that's going to take another hour to unpack all that.
There's a lot of stuff to unpack. But the bottom line is, Mike, drop Trump, emphasize to people we need to build a bottoms-up movement. And that's what we need to do. People just need to cut the cord. We need to all get off the plantation, Mike. At a certain point, you just need to get off the fucking plantation.
So I'm going to continue to build decentralized technology.
That's great.
As of this moment, you haven't yet convinced me that I shouldn't vote for Trump in the state, in the election in Texas. I'm still going to vote for Trump. I still think that you would be number one if we had an instant runoff system, by the way. I love your message. I love your intelligence. I love how articulate you are. But in my heart, I still think that Trump's policies are going to be far better for America than Kamala's policies. But I'm not blind to the things that you have said.
Mike, here's one policy. You say stuff against Israel, you're going to be you may end up in an internment camp under Trump.
Well, if necessary, I will sue the Trump administration and we'll take it to the Supreme Court and see what happens, because I'm not going to put up with any of that anti-First Amendment crap from Trump or anybody else. Let me be clear about that.
Well, if you
Trump's
remember,
get
remember
earful from me about
remember
that.
What the Supreme Court just did in the lawsuit of Murthy versus Biden, right, which was a fucked up lawsuit. They intentionally left out the actual evidence for my, you know, my stuff from 2020. Basically, the Supreme Court has rubber stamped that government can have linkages to social media companies. The Supreme Court are a bunch of Zionists too.
It's sick.
Zionism has occupied the United States. Trump is one of the biggest, fiercest Zionists. He has profited from Zionism, and he will jail you and I if we continue under his administration. We say stuff against Israel and we escalate. So,
well, okay, but Kamala will jail us just for
exactly,
being loving America.
Exactly. So let's stop.
Trump will
I agree.
Jail us for criticizing Israel. So, you know,
I'm saying we need
to
build.
Either way,
we need to build a bottoms up movement. Period. That's the
I'm
only way out
I'm
of
with
this.
You on that.
Yeah.
All right, Dr. Shiva, we've got to go. Thank you. This is a great conversation. I love this, and I love your willingness to have this conversation. And the website, folks, is shivaforpresident.com, and that's the numeral four. ShivaForPresident.com.
Mike.
And remember, you can write in Dr. Shiva, even if he's not on the ballot in your state. Yes, final
Mike, go back to that website and click on the download section. Okay? You talk about decentralization. There's a, yeah, click on downloads right there. Yep. You see where it says down? Yeah. And scroll down, Mike. So everyone right there, stop right there, Mike. Zoom in on that. I want everyone to get that card, print it out, and plaster it everywhere. The front of the card says, write in Dr. Shiva. And the right of it gives the simple thing. They're killing you. Shatter the swarm. Okay. Cost. That's it. That's our message. We have to. We need a systems overhaul. These people are going to continue to kill us and they don't give a fuck about us. They give more about Israel and making money and getting $100 million in their pocket and letting dumb idiots like Kamala Harris there. Two actors.
Well, we do need a systems overhaul. And I think it's coming one way or another, because I don't think this system is sustainable, the one we're living in right now. But Dr. Shiva, you know, thank you so much for your time and your energy and your thoughts. And just, you know, I would say God bless you, man, for what you're doing here. Thank you for speaking.
Thanks,
out
Mike.
With us.
Mike, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to share with your audience. You have the courage to do that. I appreciate that. All these other people out there are grifters, talk a big game, but they will not put me on because they're afraid. They actually serve the swarm.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. They're liberal Zionists, most of them.
They are allowed to become super popular because they won't talk to
exactly.
people like you.
Exactly,
that's how
Mike.
It works.
You nailed it. You nailed it, Mike. Thank you, brother.
Right.
Be well.
Dr. Shiva,
best
thank
you.
Have a wonderful day.
Yep. To everyone listening out there, that was, I appreciate Mike for putting me on, but he's got to get over the Trump thing. He knows what's going on. I appreciate Mike for having this conversation, but he's got to fully get off the plantation. We need to build a bottoms-up movement. Those of you out there, go to shivaforpresident.com. You can go get one of these bumper stickers, Shatter the Swarm. You can also get one of these bumper stickers, a simple way, plaster these everywhere, okay? Get one of these bumper stickers. Alternatively, what you can do is you can also go to shivaforpresident.com, and these are action steps that everyone can do. We made it easy for you guys, because we want to keep it easy. All of you are working people. You don't have time to go and protest and, you know, but here's a simple way that you can do. Go to Shiva for President. Right here on the top is a donate. Don't download this card. There's a front of the card. There's a back of the card. It's also in Spanish. Okay. Salvate tu mismo por escrito. It says, save yourself. Be defiant. Write in Dr. Shiva. They're killing you. Shatter the swarm on the back of the card. Cost of living is going up. Lifespan is going down, and our movement is about a systems overhaul. The goal is to teach all of you how to save yourself, how to fight, how to build a bottoms-up movement. Write in Dr. Shiva. We'll be on the ballot in certain states, but in certain states where they kick us off, write us in. By the way, every write-in vote is hand-counted. That's how you be defined, and we have a better chance, and we can issue FOIAs, which means Freedom of Information Act, to get them. This is about you wanting to save yourself. It's not about me. It's about you. And if you want to save yourself, the movement for Truth Freedom Health, Shiva for President will teach you how. That's what this is about. So get off your butt, get those cards and hand them out, get a bumper sticker, but take advantage of this historic opportunity to get involved. That's what we want to do. We want to get you guys involved and not thinking that someone else is going to come save us. There's no one coming to save us but ourselves. Let me end with this video. Hopefully it'll inspire you, but go to Shiva4president.com. You can donate, you can volunteer. If you have lots of money, give us a lot of money, but we've been running this campaign, never asking for money, but we can print more cards. We can help others get these cards, but very simple. Go to Shiva for President, go to the downloads, get these cards, print them out, hand them out, plaster them everywhere. That's the call to action. Save yourself. No one is coming to save us. Let me finish with this video and I'll be right back.
Who would have ever thought I'd be running for president of the United States of America? I was born a low caste untouchable in India's caste system, a system of aristocracy, oppression, and racism. My name is Dr. Shiva Ayyadure. I'm an MIT PhD, a Fulbright scholar, a scientist, engineer, entrepreneur, and inventor. My family and I left India to come to America on my 7th birthday. I grew up in the working class neighborhoods of New Jersey, playing baseball, mowing lawns, painting houses, and coding software. My friends and neighbors are blacks, Italians, Irish, people of all races. As a 14-year-old, I wrote 50,000 lines of software code to create the world's first email system and was awarded the first U.S. copyright for email, recognizing me as its official inventor at a time when copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I did that long before I ever came to MIT, revealing that big innovations can occur anytime, any place, by anybody. Growing up, I saw politicians dividing us by race and religion in both America and India to have us fighting each other while they remained safe in their gated communities and in their playgrounds of Hollywood, Martha's Vineyard, and Silicon Valley. I'm a fighter. I fought racism and exposed their imperialist wars, fought for workers and put my life on the line against global corruption. I never wanted to run for political office. All that changed when I saw working Americans as never before being duped by the establishment and the not so obvious establishment. Across left and right, we were being sold out and made to forget why we came to America and why America existed. Lawyers, academics, billionaires, celebrities and politicians, elites, Clintons, Kennedys, Bidens, Obamas, Bushes, black and white have hijacked America. They printed trillions for their friends. They delivered crumbling infrastructure, corruption and racism. They've transferred trillions to themselves, dividing black and white, fear-mongering and fake science. Lockdowns and censorship, dirty air, food and water, pushing drugs upon us, making us sicker. We've been sold out. One set of rules for them and another for us. We deserve a warrior with a history of courage in putting everything on the line for you, who believes in you, not them, who has created a movement bottoms up for truth, freedom, health. I've exposed their lies at the right time, never waiting until it was popular. I've exposed their false gods who exist to lead you back to them. I've exposed their fake science of lockdowns and masking and provided you solutions to fight them and win and protect your immune system, saving millions. I exposed Fauci, galvanized the Fire Fauci campaign when others remained silent. When they stole our election, we sued the government and Twitter in our historic 2020 federal lawsuit, exposing in bare view the government and big tech censorship infrastructure, the unholy alliance between government and social media companies. Where was Elon and his grifters? They stood by the sidelines and did nothing. They did not use their megaphones to help us when it could have made a big difference. Now our movement grows for truth, freedom, health, independent of all of them. Every day millions are learning the science of systems, the knowledge the elites do not want you to have, so you may learn how to think, stand up, and fight, independent of the establishment of left and right and their fake heroes. Now it's time for you to join the movement to win back America, to win back truth, win back freedom, win back your health. That's why I'm running for president of the United States. This race is about you. This race is about truth, freedom, health versus power, profit, control. We've had enough. They think we'll fall in line and vote again for their lawyers, celebrities, billionaires, and chosen ones from above. We choose our heroes from below, from the rank and file, who do what is right at the right time, not when it's convenient and popular. They can never represent us. What America needs is a movement by the working people, for the working people, who are educated, organized, decentralized, and fight for independence from their systems of control. And that movement exists. It's ready for you. We don't need them. We need us to go bottoms up, neighbor to neighbor. My journey, your journey, are all the same. It's our time. It's time we had one of us. It's time to win back truth, freedom, health. to win back America. Be part of this historic movement all the way to our victory on November 5th, 2024. If you're an American citizen, pledge your vote now for Dr. Shiva Iyadure, the independent candidate for U.S. president. No matter where you live, you can be a part of this. Volunteer as little as 20 minutes a day. Don't delay. This is Dr. Shiva Iyadure, and I approve this message, paid for by Dr. Shiva for president.
All right. So I want to, before I end, I have to, this is a what I call a fucking idiot. You can't be on the ballot because you're not an American. This is what I call a fucking idiot. Now, why am I calling this person a fucking idiot? Because they don't understand. They haven't watched the video. This fucking idiot needs to know that since 1972, there have been many candidates who actually been on the ballot, even though they didn't fit the qualifications for being president. Anyone can run for president. Vladimir Putin can run for president of the United States. How? He goes to a state, gets the electors, a slate of electors to pledge to him. Okay? On November 5th, you're not voting for the president, idiot. You're voting for a slate of electors. Go watch the video. And if you don't understand it, you should not be following me and you should get the fuck off my channel because it says you're a fucking idiot. You're not voting for president. You're voting for a slate of electors. You get it? Okay. Now, if you don't get that, you should probably get the fuck out of the United States because you don't deserve to be a citizen of the United States. You're voting for a slate of electors. The qualification for president comes on January 6th. This is why Trump, according to Colorado, is not qualified to be president because he committed an insurrection. But they said, no, only Congress can decide that. Roger Calero, candidate for president, not once, not twice, was put on the ballot in New Jersey. Why? Because a slate of electors are the ones that pledged the vote to him. That pledging of the vote under a name, you're not voting for president, idiot. You're voting for an office of elector, okay? Because you didn't, you probably were doing a lot of weed and did not probably study American history, you don't know this. Well, time to learn it. Furthermore, separate from that, only Congress can decide if I'm disqualified because I'm not natural born, which is never defined, idiot. By the way, you probably didn't study something called the 14th Amendment, idiot. The 14th Amendment says natural born equals naturalized. It's end of story. All right. So I don't really like fucking idiots. And fucking idiots are the reason that people keep voting for fucking Trump and Kamala and then wonder why the fuck cost of living is going up and lifespan is going down. Our movement, Dr. Shiva for President, it's a movement, is about you. If you don't want to save yourself, then you should go kill yourself because that's what they're going to do to you. They're killing you right now. So understand history, understand the Constitution, understand how the law works. But if you don't want to put in some time, I've done enough videos to educate you on this, then you deserve what you're going to get. You should go suck off Trump. You should go suck off Booby Kennedy, because actually what you're doing is you're sucking Zionist cock. That's what you're doing. But not only can I run for president, but I can be president, period. I did not give my oath of allegiance. I did not give up my Indian citizenship and give my oath of allegiance to the United States to be treated as a second class citizen. Get it? I'm not a second class citizen. There's one America, one citizenship. Period. 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 Fucking period. So get with the fucking program or get the fuck out of the United States. You don't deserve to be in the United States. All right, everyone. Educate people, please. We got to raise people's consciousness. All right. That's what this is about. Thank you. Be well. Be the light. Get the fuck out. Get our cards. Get on the ground. Save yourself. We're giving you a huge opportunity to do that. Okay. That's what we're doing. This is about you. I just happen to be a catalyst, hopefully a good one, to get you off your butt. Oh, let's go write in Dr. Shiva. Let's go vote for him. When you vote for me or you write in my name, what you're doing is I want to save myself. That's what you're actually saying. I am off the plantation. I'm no longer a house slave. Mike has got to get off the fucking plantation. He's almost there, but he's got to get it off. Okay. The more people that get off the plantation, it sends a wave of energy. Okay. That's what we need to do. And everything I'm sharing with you is just pure common sense. Thank you, everyone. Be well, be the light.